Ministers who spend time memorizing scripture set a powerful example for their parishioners. That's our key sentence as we welcome you to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, if as a pastor you had to come down on one side or the other, which would you say influences people more, how you preach or how you live?
Well, if you're a television or radio person, I was on radio for many years, it's probably how you preach because they don't know how you live. They're not around you that much, but we're talking to pastors for the most part, and there's not a question in my mind that when you're in the local pastorate, people watch you and they see your life all the time. And your life is a more powerful sermon than your messages are. I remember after 10 years in the pastorate at the church in Chicago, when I left, the people said many kind things, and almost none of them related to my preaching. They all related to some way I had, in a personal way, been Christ-like to them. So, and a lot of them commented on our marriage. So my guess is that as they watched, it wasn't just the pulpit, which was important, but it was more how I lived and how I interacted with people. And because I was young then, I was in my 30s for the most part, I think there were a lot of people who were kind and didn't mention the things that they could have that were not all that Christ-like. But I think even now, if I look back on my life, I would say, you know, a lot of the preaching that I've done, people don't know you that well, but you build a reputation over years. What speaks to people is more probably the lifetime reputation than it is the sermons per se, although it's hard sometimes to differentiate between the two. So I think people, when I'm introduced, they will say kind things, and it's usually not about my speaking. It's more about what they believe in terms of the authenticity of life. And that would be true of Karen as well. They would not talk about her books as much as they would say, this is someone whom we believe in, and this is someone who represents the Christ life to us. So those are very good statements. I would think it's probably who we are, and then secondly, what we say.
What's a specific example of something outside the pulpit that might profoundly influence how people perceive a minister?
Well, I'm thinking back of recent things in my life, and I'm thinking of a woman minister. She's very strong in the pulpit. Her preaching would be characterized as expositional. What's interesting to me is her love of Scripture, and I would say that I've learned that not so much by hearing her, although I've heard her speak a number of times. I would say that what kind of knocks my socks off is that she quotes Scripture, and she just memorizes Scripture, just long sections of Scripture. And in a conversation, she'll say, you know what God says in the book of Isaiah, and then she'll quote a long section. And it's amazing to me. And she's always learning new scripture. And that could be misinterpreted, I guess, but I don't see it that way. I see it as somebody who loves God's word and who spends time either because she's quite good at it or because she's having to work at it, memorizing scripture. That has affected me to the degree that I've said, you know, I can go thumbing through scripture a lot, but I don't have it at my fingertips. I haven't spent that time memorizing it. I know conceptually where scripture is. I'm pretty good at that, and I've spent hours and hours in scripture, but I don't have it in my head memorized like she does. So I took that as a challenge. I'm trying to memorize now more. That's a life that has affected me that way, okay?
As people get older, memorizing scripture isn't all that easy to do, is it?
I would say no, because I'm having a struggle with it. And I remember memorizing, you know, you had to memorize, I don't know, it seems like 5,000 verses to go to camp free. And my parents always thought that was a good deal. So I don't know how many, what is it, 50 scriptures? I'm guessing maybe that's more, but it seemed like thousands and thousands of them. And it was relatively easy then. I find it harder now. But I've also, and part of this was getting from her help. Her desire was to memorize scripture that related to where she was. And that seemed to be the key to her. So she said, if you just memorize it to memorize it, that's not a good thing. But she found that if she memorizes it because it spoke to a specific in terms of her life. So she would say, before you just decide to do it, you say, where am I in my life now? And what would be scriptures that would speak to me? So I kind of took that from her. And, you know, I've gone within this last year through the loss of my older brother and the loss of my son, and then my wife with a cancerous situation. So I said, well, what I need is a verse or a series of verses that speak to that. So I finally found what I wanted. And this is out of James in the first chapter, which says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. The reason for doing that is because this develops perseverance. And on that passage goes. So that was a passage that spoke to me very clearly. I've found myself saying, I don't really yet consider it pure joy when I face trials of many kinds. But I have found that this is working perseverance in me, just like the scriptures say. I certainly have stopped feeling sorry for myself, and I see it in a different vein. I see it as something that is developing in me qualities that are very important, and that a lot of people who have faced these kind of things before had the option either to succumb to the problems or to let them be defeated or to feel neglected by God. So I'm trying to face these in a different way than I would normally, were that scripture not becoming a part of who I am. And so what I found with me is that what she said was very helpful to me. It's not just a busy work. And so I can't quote, I probably could, but I'm intimidated trying to do it just looking at you without going back to the scriptures. But I'm trying to memorize that whole long section from James chapter 1 and not use that to say, aren't I really spiritual, but use it to say, I'm wanting that to be a part of my life. And I'm finding that memorizing that is affecting me in a different way than just reading it. And that's a very good thing. So her little suggestion of find something that is meaningful to you at the time and then pick those scriptures carefully, and instead of just saying, okay, what's a section a lot of people memorize? And then, you know, you get whatever is John 3 or the whole of the Sermon on the Mount or whatever. I'm impressed by people who really do this well. There was an older gentleman, I could name him when I was in college, and people said he was such a spiritual person, and he probably was. The thing that I remember is that he would, oh, I would say maybe three times a year, be asked to read the scriptures on Sunday morning. His hair was very white. And he was a very dignified-looking man. His name was Gunderson, and he was a business person. But whenever he read the scriptures, he would get up there, and then when it was time for him, he would close his eyes, and he would just recite it all. And that, I can't tell you what a profound effect that made, not only on me, but everyone. And they knew when old Carl Gunderson got up to read the scriptures that morning, he was going to do it by memory. I think that's how he got to be known as a really spiritual man, and I think he was. But it basically meant that those scriptures were incredibly important to him. They were so much a part of him that he just closed his eyes and they just came out. And it wasn't like he was reading it. It was like he knew what those words meant. So he had a whole different series of words he emphasized. And he was saying something that was coming out of the deep soul of who Carl Gunderson was. And Carl Gunderson, he was always elected elder. Always, you know. I think that his basic campaign, if he wanted that office like a political guy would do today, I just need to memorize these scriptures and it's a shoo-in. You know, that's not what he thought. I'm sure that's totally foreign to anything he was saying. But it was a profound thing. And I find that most people don't memorize scripture as much today. I don't know why that is, maybe all the different translations or whatever. But that was integral to who he was as a person. And I'm finding that if I can make that integral to me, there are times in conversation where I can say, you know, the scripture says, and it just that I like that. I like that very much. I don't like it as a ploy. I like it as a sign of authenticity.
There's definitely a connection between memorizing scripture and spiritual formation.
Oh, yes, that's well said, yes. I like those terms.
I've hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Yeah, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
I mean, that's,
yeah, exactly.
What we're saying is ministers who spend time memorizing scripture set a powerful example for their parishioners. And we're very glad you joined us for this SermonCoach.com podcast. You found it on our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website, where we have resources to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.